Okay, and we are back. And Yoichi Shimatsu joins us again for his weekly update, and we're going to talk about Fukushima and what's going on there. And is there anything that we missed that you want to touch on in regards to a summary of last hour, which all the key points you covered brilliantly, Yoichi, just extraordinary reporting and information?
Well, basically, that the whole Malaysian MH370 incident was a hijacking under a covert operation that was basically planned and carried out by the Israelis with U.S. support, and that the Israelis were able to grab the key technology, the world's smallest microchip, were able to grab the jetliner, were able to grab people, and they left the United States with a mess. The dead bodies, I suppose, the dead bodies with the cover-up that they has gone on. And it's put, I think, the American Intelligence Agency in a real tough spot, where we've seen even NSA Director General Keith Alexander, who survived the Snowden incident, survived the clash with the Senate intelligence people, resigning meekly after this whole fiasco with the American side. And the motivation for this whole incident was to grab that technology, war making, and also a jet that could be used in the false flag incident. Also, America's disadvantage, and very possibly America will be the target. I mean, not just possibly, most probably, why would you need such advanced technology?
Yeah.
Certainly not against the Arab states. They're all crushed.
Oh, of course not.
Iraq, Syria.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not against your neighbors. It's not against Europe, which has nothing. It's obviously to challenge the United States. Israel is basically declaring war on the United States of America. And Americans are going to have to wake up to this fact sooner, I hope, rather than later. If it's later, it's going to be devastating.
I'm afraid it may be later.
The planners of Pearl Harbor have wished they had were capable of doing.
Yeah,
Israel, and Israel combined with Japan, North Korea, and all the other sort of roguish states will have and triumph over this one major bastion of democracy, individual rights, civil rights in the world, okay?
Our
America's done a lot of bad things. I'm the first critic of that in Iraq and all, but on the other hand, it is the one country that's given the world the idea of a constitution, the democracy, the right to vote, civil rights, you name it.
Human rights.
America.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
This is their target. This is their target. It's very clear.
It is.
They're openly declaring war. They're opening rebellion against the United States.
We need to. I don't know what it'll take, Yoichi. The USS Liberty. How many bombings have been false flag Israeli ops that have killed Americans, the Marines, and Beirut, and on?
Yeah.
Just so too many things to count. And we could go from 9/11 at the top of the list and go on for page after page after page. Israeli ops, Israeli ops, Israeli ops, and we're not going to learn because we've got this whole poor little Israel, the Holocaust, and all that crap. One of the greatest cons in history, without question.
So, keep in mind, we've documented, I think, to satisfaction, I think we've documented the names of the Israeli companies that are involved in this, some of the players involved.
You bet.
All the links to the Rothschilds.
You bet.
It's all there for anyone who wants to look and see for themselves. Okay?
You bet.
That's all we can do.
I'm going to put this
one of those
up.
An American asset. So, I mean, they've already, God knows what's happened to this fellow Phil Wood. And not to mention all the Malaysians and Chinese, who have been sent to
Spain. Well, they'll probably just squeeze them out like sponges, and then that'll be the end of them. They've got the hardware.
They got a guy who can drive a bulldozer there on the island.
By the way, for those of you listening, if they do find any debris and they claim that they can tie it directly to the plane, don't be real quick to jump on board that one, okay? That's too easy to do. So
that's why I think the Americans have washed their hands of it. They said, we've done your dirty work, you knifed us in back, we're not going to cover your trail anymore. We've done enough. He really jammed us, we're not going to go all the way. How far do you, So I think there's some backbone showing in American.
Well, keep in mind, yes, 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 and no. Keep in mind that the ultra top secret communications system between the White House and the Pentagon was an Israeli installation. Back doors. All right, they control this country. They have this country's heart and soul in their back pocket. The American people are now dumbed down into utter oblivion, submissiveness. The hegemony over this country is withering. So I'm afraid to say it, but I think
it goes right back to the roots of the United States. You know, the American Revolution against the British Empire was against basically Rothschild.
Well, we got something.
The British monarchy, Civil War, Rothschild promoting slavery to the cotton mills in England that were financed by the Rothschild.
That's right.
Let's wake up to what the British Empire was all along.
We haven't
moved an inch off of that point.
No, we're still facing the British Empire. It's called the Federal Reserve, the City of London. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Same thing.
It's the same installation there, and the Americans have done the revolution before several times. Unless they do it again, they won't be in America.
You're exactly right. They're pouring in 40 million illegal immigrants from 72 different countries, mostly Mexican, Latin American, to take this culture and dissolve it. They're trying to homogenize everything to break down our nationality, our pride of self. It goes on and on. Now the big influx now are Arabs. They have no interest in becoming Americans, most of them. Some do.
Everyone's fighting against each other, right? Catholic.
That's the name of the game.
Arab.
You got
Christian.
Asian.
Get everyone and divide the country and then destroy it.
Of course.
Divide and conquer.
Okay.
The whole game is played out.
Arabs.
All right, so Fukushima,
Asians,
we're still back to square one, and we just discussed how the Israelis had a deep hand there, security system, and all the technology that was going in and manipulating GE somehow in there.
Yeah,
we face the same problem in Japan, and unfortunately, the right wing government in Japan considers themselves to be the chosen people, to be Jews. You know,
isn't that amazing?
He belongs to the Unification Church and believes that, that the ruling class in Japan are Jews, Now, my family's part of the ruling class. I don't accept that proposition at all, I see no connection. It's the insane theory that was hatched before World War II when the Japanese military gave support to the formation of the State of Israel since 1929, They're the ones who dreamed. The fight for the State of Israel began in 1941, June, 6 months before Pearl Harbor, when...
You there, Yochi? Okay, that little beep, I don't know what that meant. Maybe his battery died. Somebody disconnected the line. We'll get him back. Now, if you follow ENE News, you'll notice, I just pulled it up again. By my count, it has been March 27th, March 31st. Okay, they're updating the times. March 27th, March 23rd, March 31st. Okay. So finally, they've gone back to work after taking 3.5 days of a hiatus. They have two new stories up there. Interesting. Because they stopped from the 27th to the 31st. So what happened to ENE News? One wonders. That was interesting. For a while, I thought that perhaps the new law over there had been applied to them in some kind of an international court or something like that. Anyway, you back, Yochi?
It's just amazing. Whenever I say a key word, the line goes down.
Yeah, just about. ENE News is...
Chat with you, and they finally do whack your head,
I was just telling
people... Fukushima.
ENE is back. They've posted two stories for the first time since the 27th, and it's April 1st, most places. So they were out of action for almost 4 days.
April 1st, April 1st is April Fool's Day for the France. It's the start of the new year. So every organization that run out of money around the end of March, they cease their operations, and then they start up again on April 1st.
Okay, now what Yochi just said, and we lost you for a moment there. Let me tell people what you just said. The fiscal year actually ends at midnight on March 31st. So it looks like this company, whatever's running ENE, may have run out of funds to the end of the fiscal year. So from the 27th to April 1st, they just went dark. Now they're back at it. So it's possible. They probably use independent contractors for employees. And they're, they're, by the way, it is my understanding.
I remember SKF, from, by the way, they went down too. Yeah, SKF also went down. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, they went kinda, down same time. So, that, you know, yeah, it's all part of the Japanese funding cycle. And I don't want people to get talk about that, but, you know, there's been a lot of dodgy stories planted in these sites. You know, I mean, sometimes they're reliable, but
yeah, exactly.
They're never really hard. Yeah, fun time. Talking about nuclear bomb development. You know, the high-end plutonium. Nobody talks about the harm to it. You know, they're skirting around all these little technical issues, you know, engineering issues, and they're not going to get down to the brass tacks of what's really going on here.
No, why should they? Oh, when they can play games like this.
I had
no idea that SKF was down, too. That's very suspicious. Now, my understanding... Yeah. Is that, and I remember this from the right after 3/11, ENE appears to be owned by at least a subsidiary of British Petroleum, BP. It's an oil company really fighting the nuclear industry. That's the way I saw it in the beginning. After a couple of weeks, the BP logo, the information at the top of the page that made it quite clear that BP was behind a great deal of ENE news, if they didn't own it, just vanished. It was gone. So I'd suggest this may be petroleum against nuclear. That's why ENE is what it is. Some of the stories on there are, as Yochi just said, very good. Some of them are dodgy, and it takes a little bit of sifting to get the good stuff out. And my goodness, you look at the internet, and there's so many agents and operatives working there. And, of course, what's the success, Yochi, to good disinformation? That you get the sheep leaning your way by giving them good stuff, and then you slip them a Mickey. Now, that's the way it works.
That's right. You can agree.
Yochi, I want you to hang up. We're going to call you back. You're coming in and out. Go ahead and hang up.
Very good.
All right. We're going to get a better line for you. Okay, the lead story at ENE is a Reuters story. Unsafe levels of radiation were released during the WIP accident. Well, it was not an accident, it was a disaster. More workers contaminated with plutonium than were admitted. That's an AP story. Leak of radioactive material could have been on orders of magnitude larger. You think? Maybe? Gosh. Plutonium now is in the atmosphere. It's up in the atmosphere. It's in the winds. It's being blown around the planet from the WIP facility in New Mexico. Orders of magnitude larger. That's the best guess. And I would suggest that that's exactly what they did. Just they do what they do in Japan. They underreport things so much. It's almost a joke. Okay, let's see how you sound now.
Well, I hope you can hear me.
Okay,
you
know, you're good
now. It's just inconceivable the line goes down like this. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
All right, well, right now you're good.
Okay, good.
Now, I was Yochi, before you start Fukushima, let's talk about WIP just a little bit. That accident in New Mexico, the waste...
Oh, yeah.
Isolation, Nuclear Waste Isolation Pilot Project, otherwise known as WIP,
which is
where they take the so-called excess plutonium from nuclear bombs and so forth and store it. It's a quarter mile underground in salt formations, and what they think happened was that there was an earthquake, or perhaps fracking caused the earthquake, which actually resulted in the roof of the mine falling in on the casks, the containers of plutonium, which broke open. And some were liquid, some were not. That plutonium broke open and was sucked up in the air vent machinery down low and blown out into the atmosphere, and new air was taken down in. It's a cycle. It's how they ventilate the mines. So they were pulling out plutonium and blowing it up into the air. It went northwest to Carlsbad, plutonium into Carlsbad, and now they're admitting that plutonium is in the atmosphere. It's up in the air, so it's mm-hmm. being transported. And it just takes a millionth of a gram to kill you.
Yeah, these particles. And yeah, and then there was apparently a truck accident there, too, that just sort of went by the wayside, you know, on top of this mm-hmm. Situation. So we're not really getting a whole lot of clear information. We know the plutonium comes from Amarillo, Texas, the Pantex plant, where they disassemble nuclear bombs.
Right.
And
leftover material.
Shipments to New Mexico so the stuff doesn't get stolen like it was by the Israelis and sent to Fukushima secretly. The whole Roland Carnaby, the port inspector right. who was killed in Houston. The man who who set up radiation detectors on his own there. You know, he's a CIA contract inspector. Suspected shipments were going through, set something up, bingo, found nuclear stuff, and then in a day or two he was dead, shot dead by at his home, okay, so in the police seat. So there are so many compounded problems of, like this, and shoddy construction maybe at that plant.
There are, within 1 mile of the plant are approximately 100 oil and gas wells, and we think there's fracking going on there.
Well, obviously you put rock-expanding chemicals in the soil that close by.
Yeah.
We know fracking causes quakes, and it destabilizes soil. And the danger is if there is any liquid leak or even solid leakage, you'll go down in those cracks.
And the
radiation
plutonium
will intensify earthquakes. So this could be just a never ending problem unless people really start putting their foot down and taking nuclear storage much more seriously.
Well, what's kind of amusing about this is when the politicians start talking, oh, God help us all. New Mexico's senators want answers about why legally required inspections for WIP were not performed by the Mine Safety and Health Administration out of D.C. I mean, come on. This is the same old crap. Incompetence from the top all the way to the bottom.
Oh, exactly. And where was the Department of Energy in all this? They're like the sacred cow of the American government.
Don't hear their
name. You criticize the Pentagon, but you cannot go after the Department of Energy. It's just incredible. More also out of Hanford, up in their direction, right?
Yeah.
Apparently there's been injuries of workers there. And they're not really clear what really happened there.
No, they won't talk.
There's been atmospheric releases. All I know is, remember I talked to you, they used these gigantic gas flamethrowers to clean out old reactor buildings. You know, there's this incredible burst, a massive burst of flame out of old reactors.
I remember.
If that's how they clean buildings, then no wonder there's going to be radiation and possibility of a gas explosion.
Well, they said it was a leaking underground storage tank that they were working on that somehow contaminated them. They won't say, I think there were 6 or 7 hospitalized. And in New Mexico at the WIP facility, there may be fatalities from that. There were, I think, 17 or 18 that was admitted. But the city of Carlsbad has been hit with plutonium, folks. Talk about a dirty bomb. Right. That's what happened to Carlsbad, New Mexico. So, okay, let's go.
And the lack of transparency is alarming because we have no, they were not working on leaking tanks because they couldn't really get to the bottom of these things. If they're leaking, it's too dangerous for workers.
That's right.
So something doesn't add up, okay? Things are not adding up. That the whole nuclear establishment is in collapse. All of America is getting contaminated with, neighboring communities, especially hard hit. Yeah.
They cannot go back.
On top of that, the whole wave.
They cannot go back down in. They can't go back into the mine, the WIP underground mine. It's too deadly, so they don't know what to do about it. And these wells
and
that are all 100 wells. We've been there.
For the robots, all the electronics burn out. They find out nothing.
Exactly.
There's no way to handle these problems. And we're not talking about massive meltdowns. We're just talking about, radiation, high-level radiation, but not in the midst of, like, explosions that happened at Fukushima. So
I just want you folks to remember that he just summed it up. The whole nuclear industry is really in a state of decline and collapse and disintegration. This WIP thing is going to be an enormously dangerous story for years to come. They can't get down there to try and dig this collapsed mine out to get the broken casks of plutonium. They can't go near it. There's nothing they can do. It's a minor Fukushima parallel.
Mm-hmm. And there are parts of America where there's not so prone to earthquakes, but they're controlled as military gunnery ranges.
Yeah.
I mean, does the Navy really need these millions of acres of gunnery range that they barely ever use? No. They surrender some of that to store a real threat to national security.
Yes, there is geology here that is suitable for this. They're doing it in Switzerland. They're building an enormous underground, high-tech, long-term storage facility for this stuff that'll be able to last for 50,000 to 100,000 years.
Salt anyway. Is better, you know, it's much denser. It's crystallized, so they'll hold it better. But they got to surrender some of these sites. I mean, they really have to get a sense of urgency is needed in Washington and Department of Energy.
Where is the urgency?
Defending the nuclear industry.
Where is it, Yochi? Where's the urgency?
Defending himself.
That's right.
Defending the industry rather than solving the problem.
That's right.
A derelict industry. Yeah.
They're
so
industry. They're all apologists. They're doing nothing to try and rectify it.
And the problem is, look, you've got Hanford on one side, New Mexico on one side, and you've got Fukushima coming on the other side. So the whole western states is sandwiched between these radiations.
It'll go all the way across the country. It'll go across the Atlantic. Yeah. It'll hit Europe. Remember, after 3/11, the only sensible warning I ever heard from any major governmental agency was the European Union, which issued an alert that no children or pregnant women should eat green leafy vegetables grown in Europe that time of the year. Why? Because the aerial contamination went over and fell as precipitation and was taken up or laid upon the actual vegetables themselves. No warning here in this country. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, that radiation happened to pass over the Arctic region. And on its way, it destroyed the ozone layer over the Arctic.
Yeah, you were the first to talk about that.
Yeah, and I just flew over the Arctic from New York to Hong Kong. And if you look at the maps, right now the International Panel on Climate Change is holding a conference in Yokohama, Japan, of all places.
That's weird.
Talking about climate change.
Yeah.
They publish a report online, and you can get the map of the Arctic. The region which would have the densest ice on the Arctic would be north of Greenland. Okay, the Russian side's all melted off. I flew over there. I was able to get photos, and I'm going to have to write a response to this IPCC report and to their proceedings. Obviously, now I'm forced to really deal with these weather change issues. The ice. The ice shelf, they're gone. It's all broken. I'll show you pictures of total fragmentation where it's supposed to be the thicket. Okay?
Wow.
And now this report has a chapter on frozen.
Frozen,
yeah.
Yoshi, hold on, that word. Hold on, we got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes. Hang on. Okay, let's get right back to it with Yochi Shimatsu. Okay, this climate meeting going on, again, I just boggles my mind to watch these people go through these motions. Just absurd. It's like they're on a different planet. But that's the way they play the game. When you own the media, it becomes real easy to do. So anything else to add to that, Yoichi? We want to talk about the actual facility of Fukushima.
Yeah, all the delegates were welcomed to Tokyo. Yokohama, you know, just south of Tokyo, area that's hit by radiation, not as much as Tokyo, but still sort of in Tokyo's shadow, rain shadow there, but still radioactive. And they're, of course, in total denial of radiation have anything to do with climate effects, despite the fact that, sun power, solar rays are a form of radiation, obviously warms the earth up every day. And it cools off every night, so our main source is, in fact, radiation, all right? So let's get very clear about that, as a science 101. So they're welcomed by the Japanese Minister of Environment, which is Nobuteru Ishihara, the son of that madman of a former governor who provoked all this fighting with China over these islands. And Ishihara is saying that, well, Japan is very committed to preventing climate change, and that they're doing a lot on renewable energy. Now, this is a real outright lie. I mean, Japan has done nothing on renewable energy. They can't even pass a renewable energy law. It wasn't even debated in Diet when it came up. The guy's pathological liar.
Wow.
Then he says, we look forward to an environmental Olympics in 2020. I mean, what kind of environment is Japan going to be in by 2020 as Fukushima keeps bubbling away and radiation continues to build up on every watershed and every farm?
They'll have to rename all the events.
Tokyo Bay, the fastest glowing man in the world? Is that one of the events?
They're going to do this in Tokyo Bay, too, as you've pointed out, which is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
Radioactive dump.
Yeah.
And so amid this, you can see the international agencies of the United Nations that I've pointed out time again, from the World Health Organization to the IAEA, so-called watchdog on the nuclear industry, which is actually the promoter of nuclear power, all lined up behind this cover-up. It's an international cover-up, and the climate change people are at the forefront because they blame emissions from fossil fuel as basically the sole driver of so-called global warming. And as we know, the Earth hasn't gotten warmer recently. You know, there's been a stasis. The temperatures haven't been rising, okay, due to carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. So, and yet they keep promoting a theory which doesn't really have a scientific basis. They got all the data, all the charts out there, but they don't address a lot of them. And if people can look at their website, look at the charts that go back to the 1800s, measurements in the 1800s, early 19th century, the measuring points there were far fewer than today's measuring points. They're only done around the major cities then, which were like 1/100th of their size of today. So they don't even count in something like urbanization as a factor. And the cutting down of large areas of forest and the type of agriculture we use, and fertilizers we use, as a factor, because that might actually spur organic farming methods again, and forest farming. They don't include any of that in their data. And the one thing they really don't mention is radiation. There's no mention of the atmospheric Project Argo, Project Hardtack, which they were blowing up large nuclear bombs in the upper atmosphere.
Yeah.
And, completely changing, wiping out protective layers of ozone and so on, probably the Antarctic ozone. Probably was more due to nuclear tests than to aerosol.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They won't discuss that. And then, no mention of Fukushima, on the sidelines, they don't dare do this in their papers, but on the sidelines, through the media, some of the proponents of global warming theory as the main international crisis, and are profiting from that, are saying that, the recent typhoons in the Philippines, all the damages, the storms in Japan, the problems in North America, are all caused by global warming. Well, I've been contesting that all along. I said, no, they're being caused by leakage from Fukushima, either undersea, in the air, or in the upper atmosphere, particularly the loss of the ozone layer over the Arctic Circle, which is now larger than the one over the Antarctic. Of course you're going to have climate change. And all these incidents have happened after March 2011. You know, the correlation is pinpoint clear.
It's all there.
The world temperatures haven't been right. They haven't been rising for a decade. Okay? No. So there's not been a global rise in temperatures for a decade. Yet the one significant event is the release of massive high-energy particles out of Fukushima over the North Pole. And it doesn't look good over Greenland. You know, the ice is all broken up there. It should be dense and thick in March. Okay? It's not supposed to melt, even by the international agency, this climate change agency, even their charts show there shouldn't be any reduction of Arctic ice until July. It's already happened in March. I flew over it. I got the photos. So when I do write this article as a rebuttal to these fellows, I'll send you the photos of what I took.
Well, we'll run it.
Also, the steam, the sort of the steam over the other parts of the Arctic, closer to Russia, it's like a haze and steam when it's supposed to be really clear in the wintertime. It's too cold. In other words, there should be all the ice should crystallize and fall to the ground. It should be pure blue skies over the Arctic. Instead, you have this sort of really murky mist or steam, and that looks awful, like 100 times greater concentration of the tritium that I saw outside on the waters of Fukushima. I think it's tritium there because it's sort of, it must flow down over the Arctic, okay? It goes over the Arctic, driven by the jet stream, and then it sort of drifts in circles, you know, inside the Arctic. I think tritium is contributing to that miasma, and that's how we described it. You know, the local people described it.
That's a perfect word.
It's miasmal mist. It looks like that down below, and I'll send you a picture of that, especially where you might be able to see a little bit of what's underneath there, okay?
Yeah.
So I'll be doing this piece. It will take me a little while because we've been, you know, we're confronted with this Malaysian crisis on top of everything else.
Yeah.
It seems that, you know, all the man-made crises are just overwhelming us now. When over here in Thailand, it's dry season. I would like to be attending to my coffee plant. You know, I mean, I have the natural
things
to do, but, you know, but these fellows are creating such havoc out in the world.
Yeah, they
sure
are.
We have to address that havoc.
Well, it's
otherwise, there won't be a world left.
We have to take a break. Hold on. It's almost as if this forlorn species has a death wish. It's bizarre. Hold on. We'll come right back in just a few minutes. And yours truly here on a Monday night, trying to bring you up to date on Fukushima. I think the most important point, and I want to also say hello to David, our friend who did the video on the beach, who has our Pacific Radiation Live station under the right column, second section. You'll find it, Fukushima Radiation. You can see it 24 hours a day, because when the polluted radioactive part of the ocean does hit the west coast, and it'll keep coming behind you. Remember, it's not just a one-time deal. You're going to begin to see manifestations of that all along the coastline from above British Columbia all the way on down. And there'll be areas that'll be hit harder. Some will be hit less. Ultimately, over time, though, it'll probably even out, because the ocean, as we know, from zero at the surface down to 500 feet, is almost uniformly contaminated wherever they did their testing. At least that's what we were able to read. We haven't been given the truth. This was a private institution. I believe it was a university that did the testing. It might have been Woods Hole. I'm not sure. But they tested, and they found at surface and at 250 feet and 500 feet, we're talking about 4.3 to 4.4 becquerels per cubic liter of seawater, something along those lines. But the I was surprised that it was spread so equally over that much. Now, they didn't tell us what was below 500 feet, and that really kind of doesn't matter. That's not going to hit the shoreline. It'll be a residual. It's the top 500 feet we're worrying about primarily. But that's supposed to hit here pretty soon. Yoshi, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this whole drift coming from Japan, alarming West Coast sandwich. I think people got to take action as best they can. We've gone over ways to protect yourself, to protect your house, your gardens, everything, your food supply. You got to start monitoring. You got to get dosimeters. Start monitoring your food so that you don't bioaccumulate inside your body. Okay, it's actually important. I have a friend here in Thailand. He's a Canadian. And I just had breakfast with him yesterday. And he says, well, I have to go back to Vancouver to settle my personal account because this is going to be my last trip there. What can I do to protect myself? Because I'm going back in a month, and that's when the wave of radiation will probably be hitting. And I won't be able to go back there again to Vancouver. I've got to move some of my things, sell off, you know, some of my belongings.
Yeah.
And I told him, well, Respertrol, okay, Respertrol, you know, great, especially from Australia, from the ozone hole there. And I said, oh, you got to boost your calcium against strontium and boost your potassium against cesium. Never mind iodine, because that's got the 8-day half-life, so it won't make it over in this water. You know,
not in
over.
The water.
Don't have to worry about it. Yeah, yeah, it's taking too long. It's just an 8-day. It'll come over in the air, but it's not going to come over, you know, if there's another meltdown explosion. Well, there's a, you know, real strong atmospheric push from Fukushima. But it won't be in the water because the water's been drifting for more than a year. So not to worry about iodine. You won't have to be eating a lot of painkillers pills or eating a lot of iodine salts.
Right.
You see what you generally pretty much unsafe to do the sea dumping.
The best thing you can do for indoors, of course, is get a HEPA filter with disposable filters.
Yeah.
Don't get the kind where you can wash the filter out and reuse it. Get disposable.
Yeah.
And then you want to take your benchmark readings now. You want to go outside. You want to go inside. You want to test the soil. You want to go to, if you have downspouts from your rain gutters, you want to test the you'll find it will be built up at the bottom of the downspout in the dirt. That's where you're going to find your highest readings.
And your citric soap, your citric acid, you know, your lemony type things, your any kind of vinegar, anything acidic to wash with, because that'll counter the alkali salt, and they'll wash away a lot easier. They won't bind to your floors, your balconies. So that will help. So basically, you know, I hope maybe we can do some sort of pamphlet, you know, by summer to get out to people, something online so we can print version.
We'll put it on the home page here, and people can print it out and pass it around.
I'm trying to work with some people in San Francisco to do something like this to get it out.
Yeah.
But slow moving, you know. As you know, there's not a lot of people out there generous to their funds because of the condition of the U.S. European economy, large parts of Asia, sort of economic decline. So just when we need support to help hundreds of millions, billions of people cope with this disaster at the time, funding is shrinking up and it's been misappropriated, for example, by the government of Japan supporting this climate change panel in Yokohama. Traditionally, the Kyoto Protocol was mainly financed by Tokyo Electric Power Company, the people who built the Fukushima power plant, and by Toyota, okay? So these were the traditional supporters of this sort of bogus climate change theory, which looks into only one factor rather than the multitude of factors that are involved in things like climate change, and which refused to look at radiation, because, you know, it's financed by the nuclear industry. The temerity of Japan, no money for the 160,000 evacuees, for the many other civilian victims who are not on that official list. Young children falling sick, whole communities being contaminated, no government help or support for the decontamination, loss of jobs, medical care, none of that. But they had the temerity to just announce that if Qatar, Doha, you know, out there in the Gulf, Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
It's a corruption scandal associated with FIFA, the FIFA soccer World Cup in 2020.
Yeah.
If Qatar is disqualified, Japan would be glad to host the World Cup event. This is a company that can't, you know, it doesn't, you know, I mean, it doesn't pay anything for its children, you know? It pays nothing for its children, for the next generation whose genome is being irreversibly destroyed now, corrupted, you know? Never
right
mind
now.
Corruption.
Yeah.
I'm much more worried about the corruption of the DNA of the Japanese part of the human species.
Yeah.
And, you know, my conclusions have been grim that we're facing a racial extinction, basically, a Holocaust event larger than anything in the past. All you know, prior Holocaust combined will not equal this. And very tough decisions will have to be made. You know, the mutation, once it, you know, gets spread into the next generation, will tend to spread out and overwhelm any of the healthy genome. So,
it will.
Horrible yeah. prospects ahead for us in Japan. And this crazy government, I mean, this really, you know, dreamy of fools who think that they're living on another planet, as you said, think they can host the Olympics and the World Cup. In other words, bring all of the world's best athletes to Japan so we can destroy their DNA, too, and ensure that the human species
very
is
clever.
Gone from this earth
very
forever.
Very clever.
Right? The best
very,
examples, your most fit people,
I
let's
know.
Wipe them out. Okay?
It's basically exactly what's happening. If I were an Olympic athlete and I had a brain, I obviously wouldn't go.
Well, they have to organize a boycott. They've got to see the light. I mean, why? If the
that's
World
where,
Cup is
that,
not held
you
in
just
Qatar,
said it. That's
why,
where it's
why
got to start.
Hold it in Tokyo? There's 1,000 times more arguments to cancel the Tokyo Olympics or move it somewhere else rather than the World Cup, where just a few officials were bribed. Okay? This is, you know, I mean, you know, sure, there's that, you know, there's petrochemical leaks in Qatar and all that, but nothing compared to what's pouring out of Fukushima every minute. And I must say one thing about our colleague, Richard Wilcox. He's done this remarkable job, you know,
he's great.
Going up to Nihonmatsu, going into Fukushima, challenging the local findings, trying to figure out how the machines are rigged. I did this, remember, on one of my early trips.
Yeah.
They've perfected this into a fine art now, rigging the machine.
I'm
for
sure.
Underestimates, you know. So, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do that and to stay there in Tokyo and suffer these long-term consequences.
I've asked him, you know, basically without saying it, to get the hell out of there, but his family and in-laws, and that's the story. You got, you know, his Japanese wife and her family, you can't. You just can't, too many roots.
Well,
can't
Japanese
do it.
Yeah, the Japanese are just in acceptance. It's not just denial, it's acceptance. And this Canadian friend, he told me over breakfast yesterday, you know, he met the Japanese woman at a organic food store. You know, she's been here for 3 years. And he asked her, why don't you, are you here because of Fukushima? She said, no, I was here before then. But, you know, we don't talk about Fukushima, you know? It's not considered a proper topic. Subject of discussion among Japanese people.
That's amazing. You just summed it up.
You know,
said acceptance. They're past denial now. Now they're into acceptance. You're right.
Acceptance. It's suicide, but sure, if you don't want to die, I mean, you're willing to die, fine. But the next generation children
don't have a choice. They don't have a choice.
Other people. It's no longer suicide. It's murder, okay? It's murder. It's manslaughter at death. But it's more like premeditated murder when you allow children
I couldn't agree more.
To be exposed like that. You know, why not just, you know, expose the, I mean, lead, we removed lead from fuel, automobile fuel, right? All countries of the world did that.
Because
they realized it affects children's brains. It's killing them, you know, it was harming them. Possibly, you know, eventually hurt, killing them, but not even harming them. That was banned. But we're willing to live with radiation, which is far more dangerous.
All true. All right, Yochi. Absolutely brilliant. Last hour and this hour, wonderful. But last hour, I'm going to put up as a free listen. You just nailed it up one side and down the other. And I really thank you. We'll talk again next week, if not
start
before.
Taking action. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
People
great
must
job.
Start acting. Otherwise, it's going to be over. It's really going to be over.
Yeah. Okay. Good night, my friend.
All right.
Yochi Shimatsu, And you just don't get any straighter than that. No way. Okay, we're off and running on another week, and I hope you have a good one. We will be with you right through the week and back in 21 hours. See you then.